Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 say, "Do not wear yourself out by attempting to get rich. Cease from relying upon your own understanding. If your eyes fly to it, then it is gone, for it surely makes wings for itself like an eagle, and it flies into the sky." Verses 4 and 5 form a single proverb, where verse 4 gives an admonition and then verse 5 provides further rationale. While there's no official parallelism in the literary structure of these verses, we could loosely consider them to be a form of synthetic parallelism, where the lines of the proverb are interconnected, and when taken together collectively, they expand or amplify the meaning. This is usually done through extending the idea or principle with an illustration, moral lesson, or practical truth that relates to it. In looking at the first part of the proverb, we can notice that it begins with a double prohibition. First says, "Do not wear yourself out by attempting to get rich." And secondly, "Cease from relying upon your own understanding." These two lines are expressions of wisdom. In other words, there is something wise about not wearing yourself out attempting to get rich, and there's something wise about not relying upon your own understanding. Let's take each of these statements in turn. First, let's ask the question, what is wrong with striving to make money? The answer is nothing. In fact, working hard to earn money is viewed as exercising wisdom in life. There's nothing wrong in trying to better one's circumstances in life or having the means to help others and to do good. But this is not what the proverb is talking about. The issue is striving to the point that you wear yourself out in the process of trying to obtain more money. If money becomes one's focus in life, then they will lose sight of so many other things that are more important. Wealth cannot be the sole aim for which a person labors and works hard, because there are so many uncontrollable factors that can prevent a person from getting wealthy, and so much chance that one's best efforts will not result in riches. Nonetheless, the Book of Proverbs exhorts the reader to work hard and to save money. If a person exercises wisdom and discipline in their life and handles their business with honesty and integrity, then they will accumulate much wealth. I think the bottom line of the first prohibition is simply this. Money doesn't solve problems in life, and there are much more important things to pursue and invest one's time in than trying to get rich. The second prohibition, "cease from relying upon your own understanding," literally reads, "from your understanding, cease." The Hebrew word translated cease carries the sense of to refrain from or to leave alone. There are two major ways that this phrase has been understood. The most common way is that people should not trust their own understanding about material wealth. That is, people should not think that if they work tirelessly, they will become rich, and that being rich brings success, peace, friends, and security. Wealth gained by constant toil has many hidden costs and sacrifices, often including one's health and the relationships with family and friends. Furthermore, many people who have big plans for being wealthy never see those plans materialize. The other way to understand the phrase here in verse 4 is less common, but is the translation found in some modern English Bibles. For example, the English Standard Version reads, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist." Or the Christian Standard Bible, which reads, "Don't wear yourself out to get rich, because you know better. Stop." According to this way of reading the text, a person should rely on their personal understanding about life, that working tirelessly to acquire wealth is a vain pursuit. And so they should know better and stop focusing on trying to get rich. However, although the Hebrew text could be understood this way, it seems the less likely meaning of the verse, because if a person had enough wisdom to know that money doesn't fix everything, he or she would not strive to become wealthy to begin with. Also, this second way of viewing the phrase requires dissociating the parallel wording presented in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, about refraining from trusting in one's own understanding and viewing one's own understanding as something that cannot provide sound guidance or perspective. The phrase would have to be taken in a much more positive light, where one's own personal understanding can help them make the right choice to cease pursuing wealth. What we do know is that the emphasis in the book of Proverbs is that we must acquire knowledge and understanding from Yahweh because we do not have it in ourselves. Thus, this second way to understand the verse assumes that a person has somehow acquired a degree of wisdom already. And that interpretation seems less probable, given the overall premise in the book of Proverbs that our own understanding is deficient and faulty. Proverbs condones hard work and gaining wealth, but not devoid of trusting in Yahweh, our God, knowing that it is He who rewards the diligent and the righteous. Next, in verse 5, this explains the reason for the prohibitions in verse 4. It expounds the reason why a person should not wear themselves out trying to get rich by saying, "If your eyes fly to it, then it is gone. For it surely makes wings for itself like an eagle, and it flies into the sky." It is important to see the connection between this verse and verse 4, where the antecedent of the pronoun it refers back to striving to get rich. With an interesting metaphor and play on words, the statement describes the fleeting nature of riches as being like a bird, that upon glancing at it, that is, letting your eyes fly to it, it grows wings like an eagle and quickly soars away into the sky. See, if your eyes fly to it, then it ends up flying away. This powerful imagery depicts the ephemerality and transience of wealth. The interpretation of the imagery is that money does not last. And when you set your eyes on it for just a moment, it will up and vanish. But why is the proverb personifying money or seeking to get rich in this way? Money doesn't run away from you like a spooked animal. This reminds me of something my dad used to always tell me when I was younger. He would say, "Your money is in your pocket until you decide to put it into someone else's." I think what my dad was trying to get me to learn is that my money stays mine so long as I choose not to spend it. But once I do, it is no longer in my pocket. It is as if it has run off away from me to some other place. In the proverb, taking verses 4 and 5 together, what the proverb is admonishing us is to realize the vanity of pursuing wealth and that we should not fixate upon it. For if we do, we will be sorely disappointed. Wealth is like an unpredictable winged creature that can be easily startled and fly off without a moment's notice. In order to illustrate this proverb, I want to share with you a story from the world of financial investing. Bitcoin was created in 2008 and released in 2009 following the dramatic economic recession experienced in 2008. It is a decentralized, digital, peer-to-peer transferable currency that is not governed by any single entity like a bank. It can be sent directly between individuals through the Bitcoin network. Essentially, Bitcoin is simply a snippet of code that represents the digital ownership of a Bitcoin token. This Bitcoin token can be used to purchase goods or services in the same way that physical coins and paper money do. Bitcoin transactions are verified by network nodes through digital encryption protocols, known as cryptography, that allow for secure transfer between computers. Thus, Bitcoin is often referred to as a cryptocurrency, because it relies on this encryption technology for security. Moreover, one of the unique things about Bitcoin is that it has a maximum quantity that can be in existence, specifically 21 million Bitcoins. And this will be all the Bitcoin that will ever be. The quantity will never change. That maximum quantity will never change. This prevents the currency of Bitcoin from devaluing based on additional future releases that could cause inflation, as we experience with our coins and bills today. Well, Bitcoins are created as a reward for the process known as mining, which is the discovery of a new Bitcoin block that, when discovered, releases the Bitcoin into the market for buyers. A block is identified by its hash, which is just a very long string of numbers and letters constructed by a complex algorithm developed by the Bitcoin creator, Satoshi Nakamoto, which is likely an alias for an anonymous person or group. Any person's computer can mine for Bitcoin using an open-source free software available at bitcoin.org. There's no rhyme or reason to each block's hash, so people need to set their computer to iterate through as many guesses per second as possible to try and correctly guess the next hash. Now, when Bitcoin first came on the market, it was a very novel commodity. After about 1 year, a Bitcoin was worth less than 1 cent. However, by July of 2010, it was worth about 8 cents. And then by October, it had risen to 15 cents. By 2017, a Bitcoin was worth over $5,000. It is this sort of explosive growth that has attracted many investors to Bitcoin. One of those investors was Sean Russell, who works as a property developer in Great Britain. Russell was an amateur investor and had done some trading on the stock market, and he had been tracking Bitcoin for several years and was intrigued by the incredible growth pattern it was exhibiting. Enticed by the potential to receive a high yield on his investment, Russell decided to invest in Bitcoin. In November of 2017, he invested around $120,000 into Bitcoin. His investment seemed to be paying off as the value of Bitcoin continued to rise. As Russell remarks, "I think there was one morning where I woke up and I made about 12,000 pounds, which is about $15,600 US in one morning on my investment, and it just kept going. I was thinking, wow, that's mortgages paid. That's holidays that I've always dreamed of." And so Russell continued to watch his investment climb. After about 1 month, his $120,000 of Bitcoin was now worth over $500,000. He couldn't believe it. By December of 2017, Bitcoin was worth almost $20,000 each. But then in 2018, Bitcoin's price began to decline and then collapse. Russell was frantic and tried to mitigate his loss, which was growing every day. He shifted to other cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, and Ripple. But all cryptocurrencies were on the decline. By the time Russell exited the market and sold his cryptocurrency, he had amassed a loss of nearly 96% of his original investment. What I didn't tell you was that Russell had used his life savings when he invested in Bitcoin. He thought Bitcoin was going to be the next big thing and that he would make a lot of money. Commenting on having his life savings destroyed, Russell said, "It was devastating. Quite traumatic, really. I've seen stories on the news of billionaires going bankrupt, and you think, how can that be? How on earth did you lose that amount of money? And yet, here I am in that position." As Russell was an amateur investor, choosing such a volatile entity like Bitcoin that experiences rapid and drastic fluctuations in value was probably not a sound investment choice to begin with. But on top of that, his fixation on trying to still make it big in cryptocurrency left him scrambling to try and limit his losses by making other quick investments so as to not lose everything. But in the end, that is exactly where he ended up. What the story of Russell can teach us is that money is never a guaranteed thing. Whether it is an investment gone wrong or other large, unforeseen life expenses, money can come and go quickly. And that is why wisdom must be used to properly handle it and not obsess over it. If we put making money at the top of our list for what we are seeking in life, we will certainly be disappointed. Because as soon as we think we might have an advantage or lucky break, it will up and fly away, eluding our grasp and leaving us to deal with the consequences and fallout from our foolish pursuit of money. But if we will seek Yahweh with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, then we will not fall prey to the deceitfulness of attempting to get rich. Wealth seems to promise a comfortable life of luxury and security. But if that is what we will spend all our time seeking to obtain, we will learn a painful lesson. Wealth is not something that we can rely on in our life. It doesn't last. Even when we think we have it, we can blink and it will be gone. Therefore, we must trust in something that is sure and steadfast. Let us trust in Yahweh, our God, who provides and protects for those who look to Him in all things. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.